A board member of the Cascadia Poetics Lab, she did her MFA at the University of Victoria. She has an incredibly deep connection to place in a couple of the most beautiful places in the bioregion. Salt Spring Island, where that's part of her ancestral line, comes from, or has been for 150 or so years. There was a beautiful exhibit at the Salt Spring Library that had six generations of art from her family. She also has a strong connection to Desolation Sound, and specifically a place called Galley Bay. I had the privilege of spending, I think, 5 days there. We had to take a ferry to Vancouver Island, drive to Cumberland overnight, take another, go drive up to a ferry that would take us to Quadra Island, go across the island, get on another ferry that took us to Cortez Island, go across the island, get in Gary's boat, which we had to go and fix the motor every 10 minutes or so because it started foaming, which scared the crap out of me. And once we got off his boat, we got another small boat to go the last 100 yards or so and row to the place, which is off-grid. It was an amazing place. So you'll hear echoes of some of the most beautiful parts of BC in the work of Adelia McWilliam.
Thank you, and welcome everybody. I appreciate that everyone has come this far. So I'm going to start out actually with some poems that are not, are place-based in a different way. They are puzzles written in response to one of my first teachers way back when I was 18. A man named John Thompson wrote a series of puzzles called Stilt Jack. And I pulled them out at solstice and went, holy shit, these puzzles are really amazing, and I started a response to them. So I'm going to start with the response to his puzzles, and then I'll move on and I'll do a little bit more local ones. But what you'll hear in the puzzles that I'm going to read are the dance between where I was then, which was Mount Allison University, which is in New Brunswick, a very small town in New Brunswick, which started my love for small towns and rivers and bays, and then my response, which is naming places where I live now, which is Cowichan Bay, which is north of Victoria. And so here goes. So just a little review of puzzles, and I just want to say I've attended two panels at the AWP, and it's been a real testimony to women, because both panels were beautifully negotiated by different women, and I didn't plan that, it just happened, and I want to speak to the power of the women thus far in the reading here today. So it's just a beautiful thing. Okay, so I'm going to start each puzzle starts with an epigraph, and then it's my response to lines from there that I remember. Our classes at that time were held in people's homes. Everybody got quite drunk. I was only 18. Made a big impression. All right, so here goes. And also John Thompson tragically died a year and a half after I had him as a teacher at the age of 38. He was an alcoholic. His death was related to this. And so you'll hear a little bit of this in the puzzle. Okay, the first epigraph. Now you have burned your books, John Thompson. In the still point of the year, that place of held breath, I peer into the darkness without palpable intention. Stillness, restraint, what purchase does this dark have on my heart? I seek silk, ammunition, a gun, I whisper. Blossomless dark, blacker than crow's blood. John, who was I to understand your blind, stupefied heart? I was only 18. A pineapple tree in your farmhouse kitchen, and what of your absent wife, her flower-dusted hands, skirt slopping around her belly? Crows, trout released as if by a hammer from the depths of the stream, sweetly to rise. This, the blacksmith's anvil and a ewe's skull on the Abois d'Eau on Carter's Brook, gradually picked clean. More crows. Once you got out of your car to speak to me, asked to see my journal, drove away with it, sudden rain, sweet and cool. Two, epigraph here is from Lorca. A wall of difficult dreams divides me from the dead. Solstice holds the darkness still for 3 days, like tea steeping. John, is it you I sense rocking in the dark? My house is small. There's only room for what crows might imagine before daylight pecks. It was Akis who picked your final huzzle from the barroom floor, where you ground it under your boot heel. George Seferis, Juan Ramon Jimenez, Lorca, I bet they all wanted to die under that heel. Lorca would say, reject the angel and give the muse a kick. Their bodies thrown into the earth, rivers flowing, blood mixed in with silt. So Huzzle 7, I'll just read one more. Oops, hang on, not 7. 5. One more. 5. The slow sky shuts. Epigraph. The slow sky shuts. Heaven goes on without us. John Thompson. You dreamt, resisting axioms, lay with dark iron. The wind came in from the Bay of Fundy, raw and cold. Huckleberry, thimbleberry, salmonberry, salal, trillium, serviceberry, bunchberry. Here, ravens speak, tell us who is approaching. The shallows of the sea hold dusky light inside, full of burgeoning eelgrasses. Let Yeats rest in his Bilal glade. I will float in salmon synchronicities, the end of the world as I know it. So I'd like to read a poem that will actually be, I'm going to give a word for an upcoming anthology at the moment that I'm very fortunate to be able to work with Paul and Jason on an upcoming anthology called Cascadian Zen. And this is a poem that will be in that anthology. And it's a riff off a Neruda poem that you may recognize. And it's based in Galley Bay, this place that one has to travel to by several ferries and boats. And it's set during the pandemic, where you may feel the results of a lot of isolation. Okay, in the pit of our hearts, this is the epigraph. In the pit of our breasts, we are together. In the heart's plantations, we traverse a summer of tigers. Pablo Neruda from his poem, Furies and Sufferings. In the core of our being, we are one. In the heart's homestead, we navigate a season of cougars, ready to pounce from the shadows. Scent of the blood of slain geese on the farthest out island, nearly submarine, bleached with guano and covered with goose feathers, where the sea is a whip of wash and tide, and each of us keeps a boat made of tongues of iron and the bones of beached whales. You, my adversary of sleep, blankets ripped to pieces by the moon's hunting knife, who disturb my dreams like a wayward tuning fork, might twist the wires in a piano, who are like a series of explosions in a garden when the caches of buried nitroglycerin are disturbed. You, my narrow-hipped enemy, whose ears and neck my cheek has brushed with sour pollen, notwithstanding the chilling quiet of the sea with its absence of seabirds, waters no longer broken by the fins of orcas, deep currents empty of salmon and herring. In some corner of this season, we are together, crouched in the shadows of Douglas fir, consumed by a loneliness we don't understand, waiting with dry throats for this pestilence, Umbra Mundi, to pass. If there could be anyone who can dive through the rings of phosphorescence left by my paddle to round up the last of the remaining Chinook in the bay, and still each leaf of the trembling aspen, it might be you. I also have with me the burning eyes of dragonflies who speak to history's pain with Jurassic soldier mouths. When we're at gatherings on the beach, Orion's belt laid across the bed of the sky, campfire smoke, geese swimming, necks jerked by an invisible leash. You are there hunting, seeking out lies with your bottle green eyes, though you keep your gun hidden in the closet, knowing that when you squeeze the trigger, the silence will shatter like a champagne glass, and the barking wolves in the woods will flee, and the knives you use, the stubby one for prying open oysters, the Swiss Army knife for slicing the red wrinkled skin of the orchard's winter apples, or the long one razor thin, used to gut the sockeye caught on your barbed hook, how neatly the abdomen parts, and your sea anemone feet with stingray's toes looking for undersea caves. Can you smell the wind's betrayals? Like an exhausted sea lion, can you divine the turn in the tide? Let it guide you to the shore? Can you witness thunderstorms, watch over lightning cauterizing wounded ground? Can you string cables up to keep your house from plunging into the sea? And yet more, even more, behind eyelids, behind closed fists, behind the vestments of the forest, beyond otter-stained docks, behind mountain ranges, beyond countless journeys you've made across inland seas, there is no distance, no boundary, nor boathook grappling with a drowning soul. Your hands touch sheets, sails crack. Your hands touch the wind, and you are in Hecate's Straits, making a furrow in Blackwater's foam. Like a mosquito tasked with a mission, you smell out the shores of the body, the soft parts where the blue seas of blood become visible. You shut the floodgates that hold back the dawn, caressing the long legs of the moon as she helps you guide your boat into the channel between the oyster beds. Can you smell the clams in the mud? Hear the rubbery creak of the tree frog? They all speak to you in the voices of your parents. I have hidden your knives and buried our kisses in a midden of rain. But still, I know the burning eyes of dragonflies. Ah, sunlight and crazy forest canopies, expanse in which an inlet drowns like a gypsy in a cul-de-sac, like all the qualities of boiling currents, ah, materials, all the senses, warm-blooded sea creatures shaking with blind uncertainty, ah, mountains with serious cheeks and noses and eyes, great flanks brimming with green sap, feet of pale granite and chessboard pieces scattered onto peninsulas, and rough waves flinging themselves to death on the rocks again and again, sated with angelic desire. And so this inlet runs between us, and along one bank I run, biting my tongue. Am I then truly isolated while the burning tide between us flows during the night? How many times have you been the one without a name? How pulverized in the shadows by torrential rain? The image I hold of you devours the green grass of my heart. And I think I'm out of time.